Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
What's up, everybody? It's Owen. Welcome to Fansmanship Podcast number 66. Today, actually this week, we spoke with Dylan Royer and Drake Yu, who were seniors on this past year's men's basketball team at Cal Poly. The Cal Poly basketball team made their first postseason appearance at the Division I level. They were ousted out of the Big West tournament in the semifinals by the eventual Big West champion Pacific Tigers on a last second tip-in. And I thought it would be a great time with a men's basketball banquet coming up this week, and it's open to the public, to talk with some Cal Poly seniors. Unfortunately, Chris O'Brien had a previous engagement, so I was able to get with Dylan Royer and Drake Yu, hear their perspectives on what it's like to play at Cal Poly, how they got there, what that decision was like, what their time was like at Cal Poly. All three of the seniors had very different routes that they took this year to getting to the floor and being part of this team. Dylan Royer, of course, was a walk-on from Morro Bay High School, locally here, a local kid who spent 5 years at Cal Poly and was here under the previous coaching regime as well. Drake Yu was a player who was from California and transferred from Hartford back east and is originally from the Sacramento area. And Chris O'Brien, who is from Irvine, California, originally started at University of San Francisco and transferred in as well. So Joe Calero has been getting some transfers. He was able to work with the players that he got. At this point, the Cal Poly basketball team moving forward, I think, has all players that Coach Calero recruited. But it was interesting to hear about how everybody got there and what everybody's perceptions of their time was at Cal Poly and of the Big West. I hope you enjoy the podcast. It's episode 66, Dylan Royer and Drake Yu. So I'm here with two out of the three seniors. Chris O'Brien had an emergency that he had to attend to. So I'm here with Dylan Royer and Drake Yu, two of the three Cal Poly basketball seniors from this year at the end of their Cal Poly run now. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Dylan? A little bittersweet to be here as seniors that are graduating and leaving the team, but definitely worth it. Yeah, definitely happy with everything that happened.
We're sitting here in the Cal Poly coach's office, and I remember at the end of, like, college, I mean, I didn't play sports or anything, but at the end of college, it was always just kind of like a weird feeling at the end of college, because everything leading up to there, at least for me personally, was like, get done with college, finish college, go to college, finish college. And then at the end, it was like, oh crap, like, now I'm, how old are you guys? I'm 24, 23, yeah, or something like that. And so what's that like for you, Drake?
Like you said, there's no real, like, next step that's kind of, like, in stone for us. It's kind of the first time in our lives where we don't really have a set plan. So it is a little bittersweet. I think that I'm sure Dylan can say the same. Like, it's been a great experience here. I'm not really sure I can say I'm going to miss the school work and homework so much, but Slough's been a great place, and it's somewhere that I'm really going to miss. So it's exciting at the same time. So it's definitely an exciting time for
us. It's probably also kind of like annoying, like, people asking you what you're going to do, right?
Yeah. So $1 million question.
Right. But, and there's no, I mean, like, you, to your point, there's no summer workouts that are scheduled for you. There's no, like, so it, for the last however many years, people have been kind of essentially making your schedule for you, and you had a couple week breaks here and there that you could take advantage of. At this point, though, you got to, like, manage that yourself, right? So that's got to be a little bit different. Yeah. As far as thinking about it, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little maturity on our part to where all of a sudden we have to make our own decisions. And, you know, like Drake said, it's kind of the first time in our life where really it's up to us. Yeah. And, you know, we can do what we want. And I think, you know, so far we've been doing a pretty good job on staying on top of our schoolwork. And we've been working out together a lot during the week. And it's kind of nice being able to do it on our own terms. But it's also kind of scary because, you know, you could slip off, you know, the working out bandwagon and start to be lazy, but so far we've done a pretty good job considering we're both considering keeping keep playing. So
that's my question. Yeah, that's my next question. Is basketball something that you guys want to kind of keep in your in your sights as far as like Will Taylor last year went overseas and played in Germany? Is that something that that you guys have kind of in your sights?
Yeah, absolutely. I think at this point, Dylan and I are both planning on hopefully playing next season overseas, just kind of continuing it out. I mean, I know for me it was kind of a there's a point where I was like, okay, do I go straight into the workforce or do I want to keep playing? And I knew right away after our last game that, you know, I didn't really want my playing career to end that way. And I still love the game, and this is probably the only time in our life where we'll be able to continue playing. So, yeah, it's exciting, and I think that we both kind of had a couple agents that we've found and definitely plan on playing next year.
Yeah, I think when you're young in your career, you kind of take it for granted, the things that you have. And I think as we've gotten older and we've had a chance to have, you know, the successes and failures that we've had, I think we started to feel really blessed that we could, you know, have the opportunity to continue playing the game that, you know, we loved our whole lives. Right. So we kind of talked about it with coach and, you know, with our parents, and you know, there's really no reason why we should stop now, because neither of us are burned out. You know, we both love the game and we feel like we can still improve and contribute somewhere. So
cool. Yeah, I was I actually had a couple weeks ago Christina Santiago came on the podcast, and we were talking to her about her experience in Bulgaria. Yeah. And you know, one of the things she talked about was being the American player in a place and everything kind of being on you in Europe. And you know, I think it's just such a cool opportunity. From my perspective, you know, getting somebody to pay for you to be in Europe for a period of time and having like a life experience like that early on seems like a really cool thing. She talked about from a basketball perspective, when they won, it was all because of the American players. When they lost, it was all because of the American player. Mm-hmm. I've talked with a couple guys and they talk about like scoring 40 and losing by two, and it's all their fault that they lost. So it's kind of an interesting mentality in there, sometimes. With that, you talked about your last game. And you didn't want to kind of go out like that. Talk about that game. It was kind of a, I don't want to say it wasn't an afterthought. It was a postseason berth after the Big West tournament and the loss to Pacific there. Talk a little bit about that game. What was it like to kind of go to Utah after that? You guys, you know, I didn't picture you guys on a plane to Utah after the Big West tournament, but it was kind of something that came up. What happened out there?
I think that it was a new process for everyone. I think, you know, coming off a heartbreaking loss.
And that was the Pacific on the tip-in.
Yeah, the Pacific game. I think it was new for everyone. The coaches, players, like we for Cal Poly, I mean, it was a huge accomplishment that we were able to make the postseason play for the first time in school history. And at the same time, like, it was kind of tough to come back, and especially during finals week for us. I know Dylan had a final like the day of our game that his teacher wanted him to take. So, I mean, guys' mindsets were kind of all over the place. Emotions were all over the place. So I think that's something that the younger guys will definitely learn from and kind of take away from that is just getting that mentality. I mean, when you're in March and regardless of where you're playing in the postseason, it's a privilege. And, I mean, it was a good experience for us and happy we were able to experience it.
Yeah. The three of you and Chris isn't here, but the three of you represent just about every way kind of you can get to Cal Poly, whether it's, you know, walking on, whether it's transferring in, you know, what was that experience like for you guys individually? I want to kind of start with Dylan because he's a local guy and, you know, certainly was here for a year, I think under the old coach and came in and what was that experience like for you as far as the transition goes and,
Looking back on it, you know, and obviously time flew by, but during my first few years, it was such a long process. I think, you know, since I redshirted my first year and, you know, I didn't play much my 2 years after that, it was really, it felt like forever. You know, each day was long, just trying to prove myself and work hard. And it was hard not to second guess my decision, obviously, because there are, you know, other places I could have gone, you know, smaller schools, but, I kind of just tried to keep my eye on, you know, what the goal was. And I was in, you know, getting playing time and help this team win.
Right.
And so at times it was pretty frustrating, but, you know, as time went on, it started getting better and better. And, you know, guys like Drake, you know, our coaches, it made everything easier. You know, I was never treated differently, you know, from any standpoint. So in that regard, you know, I was just like another guy. And that definitely helped help me work hard and, you know, get to where I was this year.
So. I've talked to a lot of guys. I'm from Cayucas and Dylan's from Los Osos, so pretty close. Mm-hmm. from like Cayucas, Cambria, Morro Bay, Los Osos, there's kind of a pocket there that some people kind of grow up there and they don't ever go anywhere else. Was that kind of a concern for you ever as far as like staying in town and staying at Cal Poly around here?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I never pictured myself staying at home, you know, to go to school because, you know, it definitely, the Central Coast is kind of like that. You know, you grow up here, you know, kind of everyone in your small town and, right. and people do, you know, stay for a long time. And, you know, I'm fine with that. You know, I have nothing wrong with staying in the area, but, you know, personally for me, I definitely wanted to get out eventually. And, you know, going to school in San Luis, I still got to move out, luckily.
There you go.
So it felt a little different. But, and I was a little, you know, it's kind of weird living so close to my parents initially. But then, you know, once I got older and started to, you know, mature a little bit, I realized how much of a blessing it was because, you know, I got to see them. You know, a lot of guys were getting homesick and, you know, I haven't really experienced that yet, so I'm kind of lucky.
Yeah. How about for you, Drake? How'd you end up here? You grew up in Sacramento area, right?
Yep.
And you went out to Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
What brought you down to San Luis? Were you originally recruited by Cal Poly out of high school, or how did that work? I'm always interested in, like, how guys end up here.
Honestly, it's crazy for me to think about, like, especially this year, just kind of reflecting back. But, I realized kind of late at the end of my freshman year that you know, I wanted to kind of come home and play closer to home. And so, I mean, that was a really tough decision for me, but I decided to leave. And fortunately, Coach had just gotten the job here, and I think that he was at the point where he needed to get some players right away. And fortunately, my AAU coach, new coach Calero, kind of put me in contact with him. And then, you know, come June, July time, I was fortunate enough to find a match with Cal Poly. And so... that's kind of how it went down, and looking back, it was almost a miracle just how perfectly it worked out. I mean, I don't know what the percentages are, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty slim to find a school that you can bounce back to D1 and just have as good of an experience as I've been blessed enough to have. So it was a wild roller coaster, but yeah. I'm glad everything worked out.
Yeah, Drake, what was your perception of San Luis Obispo? Like, you're somebody who's not from around here. I've, mm-hmm. I've talked, it's a question I ask a lot of people. Like, a lot of people say, hey, I've just kind of driven through there. Maybe I stopped once or twice to get gas or something. I mean, Madonna Ann, I drove by or something, right? And Dylan's chuckling, but it's but it's the truth. You know, I being from here, I don't really have that idea. So what was your perception of San Luis before you moved here, and how did that change or grow or whatever?
Out of high school, I had about 10, 15 kids that decided to come to Cal Poly. And
who you went to high school
who
with?
Who I went to high school with. Uh-huh. And I've heard nothing but great things. Central Coast is beautiful, right on the beach, great academics. And being in Hartford and seeing my friends post pictures on Facebook at Cal Poly, it was just kind of like, oh my gosh, what am I doing in the snow in March? I mean, nothing but good things from Cal Poly. I think the perception of SLO is very well looked upon. I mean, Oprah went along and said it's the happiest place in America. So yeah,
absolutely.
I can't agree more.
Do you agree? Yeah. What's your favorite part about San Luis?
There are honestly so many things I love about SLO, but I would have to say the community. I think I love the college town feeling here. It's kind of a small city. And I love that. I mean, I'm a family guy, and just being able to kind of walk downtown to where, I mean, you have great places to eat. You're within 10 minutes from the beach.
I've seen you at the beach before.
You have. Yeah, that's right. I'm a regular, so.
Down at Avila.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, there's so many great things I love about SLO, but I'd probably say that the college town, the college feel is something that I think is priceless.
Great. Aside from the two of you, or aside from each other, and I guess I'll exclude Chris too because he's in your class, who's influenced you the most in San Luis Obispo? And I'll go start with, and yeah, your family, and aside from your family, because your family's around here, so like since you've come to Cal Poly, like who's been your biggest influence?
Gosh, that is a tough one. I would say probably it's hard to pinpoint, you know, a certain person or a group of people, but the relationships that I form with people that are supporters of Cal Poly, and they're not just like boosters, but just, you know, parents and almost random fans at first. Because the thing about San Luis is you meet these people and they don't go away. They're not someone you go, oh, nice to see you, nice to meet you. You see them over and over again. All of a sudden you can establish these relationships with people that you didn't know at all at first, and by the end of your Cal Poly career, you have a strong friendship with them, and I think they influenced me a ton because, you know, I see all these different aspects of San Luis life, whether it be family, businessmen, and I can form relationships with them that I'll, you know, continue probably throughout, you know, my lifetime. And all of a sudden I have, you know, whether it be connections to a job or, you know, a kid I can, you know, just play basketball with and work out with. There's so many things that have affected my life positively just from meeting people.
Do you think being from San Luis County, like, amps people up to want to make those connections with you maybe too?
I hope so. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, I'd definitely be the same way if, you know, if I, you know, end up coming back here and retiring here. I'd definitely love to reach out to someone who grew up locally just because you'd like to see that. You know?
Yeah. Who's been your biggest influence, Drake?
Gosh, I mean, like Dylan said, over the years, you kind of create so many just great relationships with people in the community. And I would say in terms of the most influential, I've got a couple. To start, I think Coach Calero has been a huge influence on my life. Since you're not only on the basketball court, but just his overall outlook on life. I mean, there's times where you just want to, like, put him on mute with the remote control. But, I mean, at the same time, like, he has been so influential in the fact that, like, I mean, not taking anything for granted, holding everybody one-day contracts, which is something that's really stuck with me. Like, I swear I can hear his voice in the back of my head during workouts, during schoolwork. I mean, it's something that will last with me forever. It's stuff that I've used in interviews. I mean, I think he's a very inspirational person, very energetic, and he's kind of like the tough dad that, I mean, he's always on you, but, you know, at the end of the day, he loves you. I've also been fortunate enough to be in contact with Ryan Comerford, who's a local business owner. Just really helped me out, like, from a business standpoint, and just been really friendly opening up his house. Some family friends, the Carrolls, and even professors on campus. The head of the entrepreneurship department, John York, has just been awesome, both with academics, helping out with business connections, and just been a huge mentor for me as well. So.
And Dylan's a biology major, he told me. What's your major?
I'm a business major. Yeah,
so the entrepreneurship thing is kind of a big deal.
Exactly, yeah. Definitely. So I've been very, very fortunate to get.
Drake, random question. The first time I saw you play basketball, I thought to myself, like, this kid could probably play football too. Like, just the way you're built. Like, I always pictured, like, you as, like, an outside linebacker or a fullback or something like that. Did you ever play football?
I never did. No? And I honestly wish I had. I know my dad always wanted me to play, but at the high school I attended, I mean, we didn't even really have a football field, and it was kind of,
did you go to a small high school?
I went to, it was kind of an older, Rio Americano. Yeah. I went with Kyle Otister on the team, but, yeah, basketball was pretty much like the main sport. Basketball and swimming actually were like the main sports there. So,
okay.
But I know with my Samoan background, I know my dad definitely wanted me, and everybody really always says, you would have been a great wide receiver or tight end or something.
But yeah, right.
Yeah, I definitely would have loved to play football.
Well, you got hurt enough not playing football,
yeah,
right?
It's true.
Yeah, so that's right. Did you ever play any other sports in high school or growing up?
Oh, yeah, I was the same way. I didn't play any football, even though I always kind of wanted to. Just never happened. But I played baseball.
You never put on the pads for the Pirates?
No. You know, actually, our football team ended up being pretty good my senior year, undefeated until playoffs. But
was that when was Logan?
Yeah, he was a quarterback, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a good player.
My dad was Logan's Little League coach.
Oh, no
in
way.
In baseball back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, actually, funny enough, Logan actually hit me with a pitch in All-Star Baseball in fourth grade.
Okay.
But yeah,
I still remember
it. Yeah, it hurt. But no, I played baseball and soccer competitively until middle school, and then I just decided, you know, although I wasn't that tall, probably a bad decision, but I decided I liked basketball the most, and, you know, obviously worked out okay. So.
Yeah, absolutely. What are your favorite other sports?
Basketball. Shoot. To watch, I definitely love watching football just because they're just pure athleticism. To play, I actually we're in a slow pitch softball league.
Because right in the San Luis League?
No, we're just at school in the Merrill's League, and we actually have a semifinal playoff match on Thursday, so I'm actually really looking
who's
forward
we?
To
are there like other guys from the basketball team?
Yeah,
on it?
Drake's played a couple times. There's a few guys on the team. We kind of rotate, you know, who plays, but it's actually been really fun, and we were terrible at first, but we've actually gotten a lot
Dill's
better.
A slugger.
No.
Dill's a slugger. What other sports do you like, Drake?
I love football also. Yeah. Football is really fun to watch, especially during NFL season. Go Niners. Yeah. And then
I'm also a big soccer fan. Over the years, I've become like, I love playing FIFA.
It's an addicting game.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, me and a couple of the other guys just love playing FIFA. And we attempt to play soccer, but dribbling with a soccer ball is much harder than a basketball for us. So we stick to
it. Do you go to the soccer, like the Cal Poly games when
you can? I love going to the Cal Poly games. Really fun atmospheres. And we've become friends with some of the guys on the team.
Did you guys get to any of the UCSB games? I know sometimes those dates like...
Fortunately, we were able to this year, like especially before our season started, we were able to go to the Santa Barbara game, which is always a huge rivalry.
That was ridiculous out there.
It was crazy. It's always a fun.
That's one of the best memories from going to school here. I think is just the Santa Barbara soccer games. Yeah, it's always nuts.
Yeah,
I mean there were people like climbing fences. I mean, it was like a fire marshal's nightmare. Yeah. At Spanos. What are your best and worst moments basketball wise at Cal Poly?
Oh man. Best. I mean, if I had to summarize, obviously I can't put in a best moment just because the whole overall experience is, you know, with the guys is more than any one play. For me, if I had to pick a certain moment, either a buzzer beater at LMU or just beating Santa Barbara at home every time. Worst moment, I think I remember one time I'd been playing well in practice. I think this is my redshirt freshman year. And I've been playing well in practice, so coach put me in against Hawaii. And he said, you know, just let it fly. So I did, you know, and got 5 shots up in 2 minutes and made none of them. So that was pretty discouraging. I remember getting interviewed actually later on that year, and someone asked me, you know, what it felt like to go 0-for-5, you know, my first, minutes of play. So that was kind of a hard one to answer, but bounced back, luckily.
Yeah, absolutely. How about for you, Jay?
Yeah, it's hard to kind of pinpoint like a best moment. I think that we've been fortunate.
I don't mean to be all like reflective.
And,
I mean, that's the part of it. That's where you guys are at right now, right?
No, but I start tearing up.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. But I would say that the last stretch of the year I think that we had was probably the most fun that I've had at Cal Poly. The home games here, I think towards the end of the year stretch where we started putting together maybe, you know, 8-9 wins pretty consistently towards the end of the year and gaining momentum into the tournament, growing mustaches out. That's stuff that, like...
I mean, yours was okay, but Dylan's was kind of legendary.
Dylan's was way dirtier. Yeah, it was nice.
I like Jake's better, personally. Yeah,
that was the most fun run I think I've had in my career even. So that was probably one of the best moments. And worst moments, obviously, breaking a hand just when, like, towards the end of the season when we're gaining momentum going into the tournament. That was kind of a bummer. And, just kind of seeing other guys go down, Chris with a knee injury. I mean, that stuff like that's tough. That's a bad moment, but... And then game-wise, obviously, the Pacific buzzer beater is something that's going to sting forever in my life. Yeah, but I don't know. You take it. It's part of the game, so I guess. But.
I want to talk about Mott at Mott Athletic Center. Sorry, I almost said Mott Gym. talk about, like, obviously, like, Drake, you were looking for a school and Cal Poly happened to fit the bill. You grew up around here. I was going to ask Chris because he might have like some idea, like as far as what did you come to a lot of games here growing up, Dylan?
Yeah, I mean not as much as I wish I had. But
I went to a ton of Cuesta games growing up because it was closer to Cayucas. Yeah, and I could just like it was cheaper, you know, it was whatever. But did you come here growing up? And then like what's your perception of it after having like played here for 4 years?
I went to camps, a couple Cal Poly camps as a kid, and I'd played here before, you know, in like high school All Star games, stuff like that. So I was pretty familiar with the gym.
Yeah,
I was really comfortable.
Yeah,
and I definitely love coming to games. The atmosphere is great. You know, Mott isn't huge, but you know the crowd is right there. You know, when the crowd is loud, you can feel it on the court.
Right.
Looking back on it, you know, I love this place, and I love the fact that I got a chance to play here. Sometimes when I just sit there and look at the gym, I realize how old it is. and I think they're doing that. They're making strides right now to improve the place.
Yeah.
And you know, I can't wait to see what it looks like. I just hope they don't lose the closeness of the crowd. You know, I don't want them to change the feel of the gym because that's what gave us, you know, such a good home court advantage.
Right. There's kind of like a give and take, right? To like recruit kids, you know, having a having a brand new, nice looking whatever is a nice tool to use to do that. But at the same time, as far as winning games, there's an advantage there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, in a sense, it's almost like a crazy high school atmosphere. I mean, it's a gym that you can, on a nightly basis, if you're winning, sell out, and it gets louder than a lot of big arenas.
And the band is like bigger than most bands in a gym that's smaller than most.
Shout out to the band. The
best band by far, that we've seen this year.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that, I played at Hartford my freshman year, and it was a gym that could hold maybe, 10,000 people. And
was it the place that the Whalers used to play?
No, I think that thing's downtown. Yeah. Actually, yeah, okay. It's old too.
But it was a big one.
It was a big, it was a big gym, and I mean, we didn't get nearly as many fans as we do here at Cal Poly, and I think there's something to be said for that, a smaller gym that can pack out and really, like Dylan said, create that home court advantage. So. Definitely the best home court advantage, I think, in the Big West, and my favorite place to play by far out of any gym that we played at over the years.
Do you think if you were like a 17-year-old or 16-year-old getting recruited, do you think that like it's something that that you'd look at? Do you have to be kind of the right kind of kid to want to come here and like and play in front of like that kind of that like maybe the fan base matters more than the actual like glitz of the place that you're playing.
I think it's hard to come out of high school because obviously you want the best for yourself, and most young kids are going to want the biggest and newest arena and weight room and all that stuff. I think it definitely would take a mature kid to realize maybe it's not the biggest gym, but the best fans and the best atmosphere, and that's hard. You got to find a balance between the two. Like Drake said, we played at some big arenas, super nice ones, right. Over our career that were just dead. Had no atmosphere. Right. Our gym definitely packs a punch, even though it's nothing special to look at.
What about the rec center? Does that like kind of balance that out? Like as far as the new rec center, the pool, like all that kind of stuff.
It's a huge recruiting tool.
That's what I'm saying. Like that was the first thing I thought of. Like, okay, like
the pool alone.
Coaches got to just like walk, just parade recruits. Just, okay, we're going to take a little trip here and walk around and whatever. Is that something that, from your guys' perspective, like it's got to like balance that out a little bit as far as.
Yeah, definitely. Right. I mean, they look at the gym, may not think that much of it, but then they see the rec and, it's what one of the biggest, on West Coast. So it's
like to work out, to get your stuff. I know that there's facilities in Mott, mm-hmm. but like, to be able to use both. And
We definitely use both. I mean, during the season, pretty much specifically, my athletic center, working out, but as soon as off season hits, over the summer, we definitely use both. We go over there, work out, play, open gym, hit the pool. They have a pretty good looking school too, so that doesn't hurt.
The Poly Dollies. Two out of the three guys who do fansmanship are Cal Poly alums, including myself. Although I didn't go undergrad here, I did grad school. Mm-hmm. Nice. And Luke, who did undergrad here, like definitely agrees with you as far as that goes. How much of like an athletic community is there here? Like, I get the feeling I saw like swimmers at your guys' games, mm-hmm. a lot of football players. I think I saw Jennifer Keddie at every single home game, like front and center, pumped to cheer for you guys. Yeah. What is that like as far as different teams hanging out with other teams, and like is there an athletic community, or do teams like mostly kind of keep to themselves, or does it depend on the team?
I think that Don Oberhelman has done a great job kind of establishing a culture of the Mustang way. I think that he's done a great job kind of bringing everybody together and really preaching that. And I think it's kind of definitely spread out throughout the teams. I think that, I'm friends with guys on pretty much every team here at Cal Poly. And I think that's important. I mean, I love going, like some of my best friends on the football team, and I love going to those games and supporting them. And I know that they're at our game supporting us as well. And I think that they've definitely created an athletic community that you don't really see at every other school. So
is that something that Don, like, is there like a moment at the beginning of the school year where like everybody's in the gym or something where like
actually
he's
yeah.
talking to everybody and like giving them like the breakdown, like
go to these games,
go to these things, do these things,
Mustang way,
don't do this, do this, like, you know, kind of giving you guys the big picture at some point during the year?
I think yes and no. I think we have like a beginning of the year athlete banquet, mm-hmm. where it's just kind of a start the year right and mm-hmm. kind of promote going to each other's okay. games. But at the same time, we have classes with a lot of athletes, and you kind of create friends that way.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if it's just the culture of Cal Poly. You know, I don't know how it is at other bigger schools, but here everyone's just kind of laid back and there's no, like, real huge egos anywhere on the teams. Yeah. So, you know, everyone just kind of gets along. You know, we share, you know, a main locker room, we share a weight room, and you just kind of get to know people, and people have been generally, you know, pretty cool, so we end up friends with them.
All right. Give me a good Coach Calero story.
Oh, man.
Coach Freeman just left. You're wide open. Give me a good Coach Calero story.
Oh, my gosh.
That's like, you know, that's not going to get you in trouble.
Yeah, ever, we really have so many that we're going to...
Just give me one. You're going to write a book?
No, really, we were thinking about it. We were, as seniors, we were considering making a book of quotes.
So there's quotes, but like, is there like a story, like something that stands out in your mind? If somebody says, like, give me the essence of playing for Joe Calero, what's the story you tell them?
I mean, a funny time. I remember being in the locker room and, like, you know, during scouting report, the locker room is pretty silent and everybody's really focused on the monitor, going over play, scouting report. Like, it's important stuff. And I remember. I sit right next to Joel Alwich, our freshman on the team, and Joel has a tendency to sleep a lot and doze off.
It's very sleepy.
And so we're in the heat. I think we had just lost a game, and so coach is always on edge after a loss.
So you guys do a scouting report right after, or you do
just reviewing like the film? Next day. Yeah, okay, we're reviewing film the next day, kind of going over that. Yeah. And Joel, I didn't look next to me, but Joel apparently is like looking very sleepy, and at one point dozes off. In the middle of coach's big speech. And so coach, out of nowhere, like flips a switch. So he was already mad, but he flips another switch. I thought he was going to get an ulcer. This fool literally, like, Joel, are you kidding me right now? Just like, just goes off on Joel. We all are like, like, what the heck happened? And he just goes off on Joel, like. Yelling at him for playing too many video games at night, playing on his computer. Like, did you go to class today? Like, then he just goes off on different tangents. Yeah. Like, what were you doing last Tuesday? It was probably that one time you were playing a video game last week that now you're tired. And you're, I mean,
he was trying to send a message to everybody too.
To the entire team. Yeah. Like, just threatening him. Do you want to go back to Minnesota in the cold and hang out with your mom right now, or do you want to be here at Cal Poly? I mean. It was hilarious. I mean, at the time, it wasn't very funny, and I know Joel definitely
doesn't think
woke Joel up. Yeah, I think at one point he asked him to leave the room and really think about what he had done. But looking back, pretty hilarious at how upset coach can get sometimes.
I mean, don't all coaches, right? I mean, at some point in any season, I imagine,
man.
You know, Duke goes 34-1 or something, and there's a couple times when just a coach just has to just kind of just lose it,
set
right?
Set the tone, yeah. I think that was probably, I mean.
So that's a losing it moment. Are there other, like, things that stick out to you as far as, like.
Well, dude, like what Drake was saying, it goes from kind of quiet in tone to loud so quickly. And so we kind of zone out sometimes watching film. Like, we're paying attention, but we're kind of, like, you know, in our comfort zone, just kind of lean back in our chairs,
and he's
relax.
Just telling you what's going on. He's talking about what's going
and
on.
All it takes
where assistant is.
Yeah, and all it takes is one thing. To just, like flip the switch, and all of a sudden, it kind of scares the rest of us when he yells at one person, because we're all just kind of, we're not, like, expecting it.
Because you guys were in your, like, in your mode of, like,
days
focusing
watching
on
film.
This. And, yeah.
No, the worst is when he'll yell, and then the more he yells, the more he remembers things that piss him off even more. So he'll just
yell at everybody.
And then he'll just go from one person to the next person to the next person. It's like the dad who just, like, the more he talks, the more he realizes how angry he is.
I think my favorite one was he was telling the team after loss, we need a sense of urgency. And he was, like, kind of quiet, you know, because we need to have a sense of urgency. And then he compared it to throwing a grenade. Like, if there's a grenade in the room, you know, how are you going to act, you know, right? So it's really quiet. We're kind of just listening to the story. And that's when Sean Lewis is on the team. And Sean was sitting in the front row. And so he said, Sean, you know, how are you going to act? Am I going to say, oh... Sean, there's a grenade. Might want to move. He goes, no, Sean, there's a effing grenade. it scared me. I, like, jumped in my seat.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So going from, like, it's the tone.
Yeah, it's the switch in tone.
But it obviously makes an impact. It obviously gets your attention. I think nobody would argue that, you know, the last 4 years under Coach Calero, you know, the team has improved.
Absolutely.
You know, a ton. And I think there's like a focus that he definitely like exudes as far as execution goes, and something he demands from the players, right? I mean, on a daily basis. And I think it's really clear, even in comparison to other Big West schools, not just like a before and after Calero at Cal Poly, but like even within different Big West schools, you know, you kind of get that idea. Is he able to do that because of the kinds of players and academically and so forth that Cal Poly has, and that he can recruit, and that he does recruit, and that are, you know, that can flourish at Cal Poly? Is that one reason why he can be that way and be successful in that way?
I think it takes a certain player to be able to. I think Coach has a very particular personality type that he looks for. I mean, he looks for tough, hard-nosed kids that. I think that shows on the basketball court. I think that we're kind of a tough and gritty team. I mean, he demands a lot and he expects a lot out of us, but I think it's because he knows that we always have more to give. Yeah. So it's back to the tough dad.
It's always been very clear with him. There's no like confusion on what we're doing out there. We know exactly what he wants from us and what we want from each other, and he makes it so clear and, you know, and defined that. You know, I think it does help that we have smarter players, you know, because he wants us to do certain things, make certain reads, and I think the players that come to Cal Poly are definitely, you know, cut out for that. And I think it's a great compliment to us, you know, that he expects us to do these things because he believes in us and knows that we're smart enough. So that gives us confidence.
Cool. Omar Lowry moved to San Jose State. You guys have played under him now for years. What kind of a difference is that going to make? I mean, he was a pretty popular assistant coach from all things that I've talked to people and read. What kind of a difference is that going to make for the program?
He was just so easy to talk to. He was the kind of guy, you know, if you're feeling down about things, or, you know, you're maybe kind of been struggling lately, you're in a slump, or, you know, you don't really know what's been going on, you can just talk to him about it. He's kind of like the big brother or uncle where you can just confide in him, and he helps you out. He's always been extremely supportive, and he's the kind of guy where it's like, even though he left, I still feel like I have the same relationship with him. You know, I could always go to him for anything, and he's always been that guy for us. And
you call him up or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely hurts to lose him. Be interesting to see I have complete faith in the coaching staff and, you know, athletic department and finding a good replacement. But yeah, definitely at this point I miss him.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's gonna be some big shoes to fill. I know that he's gotten a lot of good recruits that have gone on and done well here, and like Dylan said, he's someone that you're always kind of able to talk to. And I know myself, Dylan, like Chris, Brian, Malik, like those are all guys that have had really strong relationships with him. So he's definitely a guy that's going to be missed. But I know we're also, as much as we're going to miss him, we know he's going to do really well at San Jose State. His ability to recruit is amazing. And it's definitely somebody that's going to be missed here.
Yeah. What's the future in your guys' mind of Cal Poly basketball? I mean, it's been on the... I'd say there's a general like upswing or a kind of a curve moving up and expectations every year. Now there's probably, you know, a couple years in a row where, you know, expectations remain high and you guys are getting to, you know, the semifinals of the conference tournament, and this year I thought it was kind of anybody's tournament to win, and it that proved out. The team that you guys lost to on a tip in ended up making it, you know, to the tournament, right? And I see you guys both shaking your heads and as I would expect, kind of thinking about it. What's the future in your guys' mind for this program?
I think the sky's the limit for Cal Poly. You know, I think that when we first got here, there wasn't really an established culture, a winning tradition. And I think that, you know, with the guys before us, Dave Hansen, Will Taylor, those are some of the guys that have really helped create, those are guys we came in with, and guys that have helped create like a winning atmosphere and holding each other accountable. So Cal Poly has all of the resources, the facility, the location to do well and exceed in the Big West. And I think that the sky's truly, truly the limit. I think I know the preseason rankings that came out this past year had us seated, I mean, I think, bottom two in the conference. And
it was at least like seventh or something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, that was motivation for us. And I don't know whoever does the rankings, but I don't know if it would be smart to ever
do that. I think the conference coaches voted on that.
Yeah, wow. Yeah,
right, yeah.
So. I mean, yeah, I think that, with that tradition, culture can go a long way in college basketball and the kind of guys that you recruit. So regardless of talent, I think that Cal Poly is definitely a school that won't be overlooked. and kind of always in the running.
I think it's going to be like a shift in mentality, because I think in the past, like Drake was saying, we've been ranked, you know, 6th through 9th, you know, in the preseason polls and all
in the conference.
Yeah, so we feel like an underdog and we got to prove ourselves. Amazing. I think. Yeah. I think in the following years, you know, we're in a Cal Poly's not going to feel like an underdog anymore. I think we're going to stop being, you know, rated low in preseason polls. I think people are going to start respecting the program and what we've done. And I think it's going to be a shift for the players, because all of a sudden, you know, instead of going for the top teams, now we're going to be a top team, and you're going to have a target on your back, and you're going to have to, you know, play well every single game, because teams are going to be gunning for you.
Yeah, so if you're – I mean, it seems like Coach Claro has done a lot with that kind of, like, motivation, with that kind of, you know, getting you guys ready to perform. Now that maybe there are, you know, there's a Brian Bennett who's physically, you know, maybe, you know, you've had a couple players here and there, but there's guys now coming in who are physically, like, potentially dominant as far as in the conference. You said the mentality has to shift, but then also does the preparation shift, or does the, like, what's the kind of flip side of that, like, with the mentality shifting?
I think the preparation will be pretty much the same. I mean, we've always prepared really well. I think one of Cal Poly's strong points is the ability to prepare for, you know, each and every situation. Right. I think the shift in mentality will help, you know, slight changes in preparation, like attention to detail. Because, you know, as long as the program keeps improving, you know, teams are going to continue playing better and better against us.
Right.
So I think attention to detail is going to be extremely important. And that's on the players. I mean, the coaches do, you know, more than, you know, good enough job to prepare the players. And a lot of it's on the players to know, you know, the guys are going to come after them, and they need to really be on it every play of the game.
Yeah, and I think it really comes down to senior leadership and leadership of the older guys, really kind of I think this year was critical for Cal Poly basketball. I think looking back, I mean, with 5 new freshmen coming in, it was important that, you know, Dylan, Chris, and I kind of established that overall mentality and culture, and hey, you know, we can go to any gym at any time and beat people.
Right. Yeah, definitely. If Chris was here, you guys got to give me your personal, like, Chris O'Brien quote if he was here, how would he talk about this year? How would he talk about his experience at Cal Poly? And I know this is kind of funny, but he's not here, so we gotta just do something fun.
Actually, the thing about Chris is that he has so much talent, but that the team always came first. You know, he's what a lot of people didn't see is how good he was at scoring, at, you know, ball handling, passing, rebounding. He's good at everything, and that. He honestly did whatever the coach needed, whatever the team needed of him.
Right.
And he's probably one of the most unselfish players, you know, I've ever played with. So I think he's definitely thankful for the experience. The fact that he got to play, you know, a whole year, you know, being relatively healthy, he definitely had some, definitely he was banged up
nice
a lot,
back
his back and stuff. So I think he obviously wishes he would have been more healthy, but, you know, I'm personally glad I got to play a full year with him.
Everybody on the team seems pretty tight, like, as far as hanging out on the court, off the court. I mean, or at least a significant number of you guys. Obviously, that's not something that anybody can make you guys do or whatever. I mean, it seems like those are just relationships that have developed, right?
Yeah.
Who are you going to miss the most as far as guys you're leaving behind, like, on the team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Dylan and Chris are guys I'm going to miss, but Anthony Silvestri is pretty much our team MVP. He's a walk-on this year, and I think it's someone – who's going to have a very similar career to Dylan. I think that I think next year he has a good opportunity to come in and play a lot, and he's been playing great and working hard. So and is someone that has become a really good friend off the court as well, and someone I'm going to miss, along with guys like Max Bekowski, you know, Zach Gordon, Joel Awich. I mean, pretty much everybody on the team. Chris, I mean, Malik. I'm just naming off everybody on our team because I mean, those are.
That's kind of my point, though, right?
Exactly. I mean like you said, like it's something that I think definitely translated to the court at the end of the year. Just our likability with everybody, no egos on the team. You know, I think that's one of the unique facts about this team this year is that, you know, guys knew their role, and we knew what it took to win. So.
Got it.
I think that, definitely contributed to the success of the team.
And so the team's awards banquet, just to kind of wrap up here, is June 14th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center downstairs. I think it's where you guys have had it in the past. Yeah. No dinner this time. It's just going to be...
I'm a little bummed about that. But.
Coffee and drinks, I think. It's $5 to attend, and I think anybody can come and check it out. So I definitely recommend going ahead and doing so. Dylan Royer and Drake Uyu and Chris O'Brien couldn't make it, but but he's here in spirit. Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
Taking the time. All right.